Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So for the last couple of days, we've been talking about the horrible tragedy that is Texas, the humanitarian crisis that is Texas, the fact that you've got millions of people who don't have safe water to drink. You've got, again, infrastructure that's subpar. And all of this, again, as I've been saying, this is bad leadership. This is deregulation. This is corporate special interest cashing in. And it gets even worse. I mean, at one point, we actually had a pretty good system. But our profiteer friends have, well, done what they do to everything. They take it over, suck it dry, and then leave the taxpayers holding the bag. And here to talk about his latest piece, Texas Gets Laid, How the Bush Family Turned Off the Lights. I've asked our good friend Greg Palast, investigative journalist and author of How Trump Stole 2020, to come give us some thoughts on his latest piece. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
Glad to be with you again, Rick.
So Texas got laid, huh? Ken Laid.
Ken Laid. Look, this goes, the reason you can trace the power outage to a dim bulb named George W. Bush. Actually, double Bushes, because it's Bush Senior and Junior. In 1992, as Bush Senior was about to be, was booted from the White House by the public, he began to deregulate the power markets in America. And then Baby Bush in 2000, well, in 1999, as governor of Texas, deregulated the Texas market. And what that meant is, you know, we used to have a very simple system in America. In fact, believe it or not, before I was a journalist, I was an expert in power industry economics, and I wrote the textbook on regulating power companies for the United Nations, believe it or not. And I can tell you, we used to, you know, I talked about the great U.S. system, which was basically we kept a real tight lid on prices in America. That is, you can only charge, an electric company can only charge their costs out of pocket with a tiny profit. And the word tiny really bugged them. They were dull companies that just kept the lights on and your bill was little. And one of the other things that electricity regulation did was not only keep a lid on prices, but because it was cost plus, the companies could only charge what they spent. So they spent a lot of money on making the systems in America really reliable, the best in the world and the cheapest in the world. So best and cheapest was a terrible idea to the Bushes and their buck buddies like Ken Lay. If you remember the late chairman and CEO of Enron, who was finally convicted of the felony crime of manipulating stock and the energy markets, and he had enough sense to die before he served time. But we are still serving time under the Ken Lay operation of deregulation. We still have some deregulation throughout America, unfortunately. That's what led to the power outages in California some years ago. But in Texas, when they began re-regulating the markets after Bush was out, what we ended up with, the state of Texas said, no, we're not going to re-regulate. Now, how can they do that? They're part of the United States. No, they aren't. Not when it comes to electricity. They are a foreign country. They are an island. Texas literally cut its power lines. I kid you not, cut off its power lines to the rest of the nation. The rest of us have two giant systems, east and west, where all the continental states are connected. Right. So that if you have trouble in Michigan, you can get power from Ohio. In fact, dig this, Rick, if Texas simply had lines coming in through Arizona and New Mexico, which are connected to California, you know that California right now has so much power because we have huge solar, wind, and hydropower. We generate so much power we can't turn off that, believe it or not, we're giving it away free to other states. California could have kept on every light in Texas without any problems, except they cut the lines so that they wouldn't have to be subject to federal regulation. So now the bill is literally coming due for this Ken Lay, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr. deregulation con. Okay, Texas, you're paying for stupid.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But here's the thing. All I heard on Fox News is the windmills froze. It's all the fault of the windmills, Greg.
Throws. By, By the way, the windmills froze, the nuclear plants froze. Texas is substantially powered by nuclear plants, these old tea kettles that as soon as the wind blows, they have to shut them down. That's how weak they are. Did you know that solar power produced more energy in Texas this week? I guess it was Thursday. It was Monday morning. I got to take a look. And one day during the crisis, solar plants actually produced more power than the nuclear stations. And yes, some of the turbines did freeze up. You know why? Because in Texas, once again, they don't spend money on keeping their system ice free. You know, there's de-icers for these windmills, just like planes with propellers have de-icers. You know that the windmills are still going in Minnesota. Yep. The windmills are going in Iowa.
They're going in Alaska and Siberia.
Yeah, so they got windmills going everywhere, and when there's freezing, they de-ice them. But not in Texas, because you would have to spend money to keep those things running. And so they aren't. Plus, there's one other bonus, and here's the big thing. I was just looking it up before we got on the air. If someone is charging you $10,000 for one day's worth of electricity at your home, I haven't seen one single story in the U.S. press saying who is collecting that money. Now, I know that there's been a couple companies named, like a company named Gridley. You have to understand, this is a company, yes, they're sending out these bills for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for mobile homes, right? But they're just a reseller. They're just like this middleman. They actually, I'm not sympathetic, but they have nothing to do with those higher prices. They send out the bills. They are charged by the power generator bandits, the power pirates of Texas, including, for example, a company with the strange name of Electricity Future Holdings, which is really part of TXU, Texas Utilities. It keeps shifting and changing its name, Reliant. It's gone under, I can't tell you, at least 30 different names. But who is behind it? Who put this together? Goldman Sachs put it together. These are the successors to Ken Lay. And these are the guys who are collecting the money. It does not cost them. They are charging over $9,000 per megawatt hour because they knew that their few plants operating were the only game in town. They could charge whatever they wanted. And that's, you know, usually your charge is about $21 per megawatt hour in Texas. That's average. That's still too high. But they were charging $9,000, not $21. $9,000 per megawatt hour. For those who don't know what those things mean, it doesn't matter. This is just the measure of the cost.
Right.
But you have power pirates out there. And again, the failure, I mean, I don't know why Biden called it a natural disaster. It was a political disaster. It was a Ken Lay, George Bush disaster. It was, and by the way, I want to hear, and I want to tell you, there's a term we use in power economics for a guy like Rick Perry. He's known as a schmuck, okay? And Mr. Schmuck, Rick Perry, said, remember, I just told you that Texas is an island. It won't take any power from anywhere else to avoid federal regulation. He actually said, and I'm quoting him, Rick Perry said, people of Texas would be pleased, happy to spend more than 3 days without power just so we can keep the federal government out of our business. And you know the great irony of that, Rick, when he says keep the federal government out of the business, he means the Energy Department.
That
and
he
you know
ran.
Who was Energy Secretary under Trump? Rick Perry. So he said, and I agree with him, there's nothing more dangerous than having Rick Perry mess with your electric system. But when he was governor, he was one of the people that turned over the power plants to Goldman Sachs and buddies and said, charge whatever you want.
Now, we were told, I was under the impression that there were some caps. What happened to the caps that were supposed to protect consumers from this kind of gouging?
Well, the caps, there is a cap, but not for the consumers. There's a cap for those companies like Gridley, but the cap is $9,999 per megawatt hour. So what it comes down to is that at that cap, an average homeowner is going to pay several thousand dollars a day to keep their lights on. Now, it does not cost several thousand dollars a day to produce electricity. Now, if you're in most states, they can only charge what it costs. That's the whole point of regulation. It's cost regulation. But in Texas, it's what the market will bear. Now, most states have some terrible combination of the two. This is a problem. But I got to tell you that in Texas, the lid's off. And of course, when they cut off their power lines, it's like cutting off the lifeboats on a ship. If something goes wrong, hey, you're out there on your own. Interestingly, I think the only city that didn't suffer too much was El Paso, because they get power from Mexico.
Right.
See, they don't mind. You know, we complain about Mexicans crossing the border, but we'll take your electricity when we're in trouble.
No, it's scary. Now, do you think this is going to wake the people of Texas up? Is this one, or is Rick Perry right? No. Would these people be happy freezing, other than because we're Texas, damn it?
Well, I mean, the problem of Texas, okay, is that it is committed political suicide again and again with the leaders it chooses. It's a self-inflicted wound, and now they're paying the price literally. You know, you have to understand that. Texas, it's always been a talking point for Texas politicians. We are energy independent, whatever the heck that means in Texas. I mean, you do understand the irony. Texas produces a little bit of energy.
Yeah, a little bit.
And yet they had none.
They just couldn't figure out how to get it anywhere. But here's the question that I then come back to. Who's actually going to pay these bills? Because as you pointed out, you get a $10 or a $15 or a $17,000 bill to a trailer that's worth maybe $3,000 or $5,000. Who's got the money to pay this? Or does this become one of these things where the taxpayers end up bailing these companies out because half of them are going to go belly up? Or is this going to be just one of these where these people are screwed? How do you see that playing out?
Both. There's going to be a lot of people who will scrape together money, remortgage their houses just to pay the 1 week electric bill. But a lot of people won't and can't. So I imagine these middlemen like Gridley are going to go out of business. They're gone. But remember, they were just the glove around the fist of these big power companies who are collecting. Remember, when you pay $10,000, someone received the $10,000. I haven't seen a single report yet in the American press about who's collecting the money. I'm not talking about the middlemen. The buck stops at those guys that own those power plants, like South Texas Nuclear Unit, which is, used to be owned by TXU. Now, it's, as I say, it's gone through many name changes and shape shifting. So you can't sometimes even tell who is the ultimate owner of these plants. But they're collecting this massive amount. So the middlemen will go out of business. A lot of small cities and towns, by the way, are going to definitely be going out of business. The question is, will there be a stop on the payment to these marauders, to these gougers, price gougers, because it's usually known when you have a contract where your price goes wild and you can't do anything about it, that's in law, that's an unconscionable contract. So I think that, again, the middlemen will be out of luck, but the guys behind the business, like Goldman Sachs, like Dynergy, which was backed by other investment banks, they're collecting and they're getting away with it. No one even sees them sneak out the back door with the bags of loot.
Yeah, they never lose. It's the same thing I've been saying here about in Pennsylvania, because we, right around the same time, early to mid-90s, we went through a deregulation scheme as well. And we've got the same kind of middle people who, always tell us, oh, we're going to save you all this money on energy. And the prices keep going up and up. All I see is service getting worse and costs going up. But one of the things that they did do well is they crushed most of the union workers who were the linemen and the people who did the work that used to service the power. And they destroyed all those good union jobs that used to work for the old public utility power company. They did do that.
By the way, I used to work for the utility workers union. I would negotiated contracts and did other work for the electrical workers. Yes, and it was great. These were great union jobs. They kept your lights on. They kept your gas flowing. And it was done cheaply, despite the fact that they got good union, some of the highest paid union workers in America worked at these power plants. And while there's still a few union jobs left, they've done a very good job of killing off the unions in the industry. And that is a big problem. It's a problem for reliability and safety. It's a problem for cost.
No, to your point, which is why every storm you see, caravans of trucks coming from one region to the other, because you don't have the local the local craftspeople to be able to do those jobs anymore. We've made them all transient.
Well, yeah, and let's remember this. Like, I was just in Switzerland. You know, it's they have the Alps and a little bit of snow there, and yet they keep the lights on. The infrastructure is powerful, mainly because it is publicly owned.
Yeah.
First of all, the U.S., while we had a regulated system, was unusual in that most places in the world, electricity is a government service, just like streets. In America, we have government-owned water in almost all places, which is why when you turn on the tap, pretty much you get water, and it's clean and it's safe and it's cheap. That's because it's socialized.
Yeah, that's changing, though, Greg. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a lot of places
selling off their water
authorities, and then you start seeing, you know, the same kind of things happening. You know, and this is just another one of those deregulation schemes that have gone awry. We were promised, you know, wonderful. We were promised the best of both worlds, cheap stuff and all we want. And what we end up getting is, well, $17,000 bills and no electricity.
Well, you know, in California, when they passed the deregulation bill in California, the preamble to the bill says this will reduce electricity prices in California by 20%. My parents' bill within 12 months went up 300% for their electricity at their apartment in San Diego. So, you know, it was a con. They're still selling us the free market con. There will be competition and competition. Well, here's the problem with competition. In electricity, as I said when I was working putting together this textbook for the UN, which is there is no such thing. You got one wire going into your house. You can't, there's not 15 wires and you get to choose the cheapest one in any hour. You got one wire. They've got you by the bulbs. You can't go anywhere. It's not like electricity is not a bagel. You can't say, oh, $9 for a bagel? No, not this morning. I'll get a muffin. Or I'll go to another bakery. Too bad. It's electricity, and you can't save it. You can't say, I'll have it tomorrow instead of today when the price is lower. They've got you by the bulbs, and there is no such thing as competition. It is a complete con, and they're still selling us this snake oil. And here's the ugly thing that I'm very worried about. You got Greg Abbott, your governor of Texas. You've got Rick Perry, who was the energy secretary under Trump. You've got now this guy Paxson, the attorney general, saying, we are going to open criminal cases to find out the criminals behind this price gouging. Well, is there a mirror nearby?
Yeah, exactly. Really? And I say, I'm with you. We start locking them up. But you're right, Greg. They've got us by the bulbs, and we need to figure out how to reclaim that. I appreciate the thought. I hope people will take a look at the article, Texas Gets Laid, How the Bush Family Turned Off the Lights. We'll get links out on how you can check that out. Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
You're the best. Thanks, Rick. Bye.
Good stuff. Our good friend, Greg Palast. GregPalast.com. Quick break. Right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.